Hey guys, Margaret here. Before we get to the podcast, I just want to let you guys know we're nearing the end of season one of this podcast. So next week's episode, which is going to be all about how to help build a better metabolism, will be the last episode of season one. All right, let's get to the show. Hello and welcome to the Diet Detox Podcast. I'm your host, Margaret Berry, a functional nutritional therapy practitioner, master TTAP trainer, and mother of two. I'm joined by my co-host, Victoria Wilkes, a fellow intuitive eater, passionate TTAPper, and mother of two. Each week, we want to empower you with new information about the way our bodies and minds work together to bring us into balance when we are well-nourished and well-fed. Victoria and I are not only good friends, but we are also lucky enough to be sisters-in-law. So join us as we discuss topics such as body image, intuitive eating, women's health, pregnancy and postpartum nutrition, the science behind nutrition and exercise, and so much more. Remember our disclaimer, the materials and content within this podcast are intended as general information only and are not to be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Now let's get to the show. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Diet Detox Podcast. I'm your host, Margaret Berry, here with my sister-in-law, Victoria Wilkes. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I am almost at the end of this knitting project. I was saving it for tonight.
That's awesome. Yeah. Is it the shawl or is it a different one? Okay, cool. Yeah.
It's the shawl.
Nice. You'll have to post a picture when it's done on our blog. Be like, this has been knitted through many, many episodes.
Yeah. That's a great idea. I seriously have no.
No, do it. You should post it. You should post it and be like, this is, I was working on this while I was, I'm impressed that you can knit while you do that because I can't even think if I'm not like focused. I must have ADD or something. I don't know. I have to like really focus, like focus on the notes, focus on what we're saying.
I do, like, if I get really into it, like, whenever we recorded the sugar episode, I was, like, gesturing with my hands, waving my hands all around. So I did put my knitting down for a while during that one.
I know. That one was fun. So, and today's is going to be similar, but not exactly the same. So I'm excited. But, so you want to say anything you've been eating recently that you've been eating or drinking, I should say, that you've been enjoying?
I've been eating kind of the same things that I have been the past. I go through these cycles. Like, I don't know if you remember, like a couple months ago, I was all obsessed with salads. They just sounded like the best thing in the whole world. Wait to eat salad every night. And then now I'm like, I don't care about salads at all. Now it's like, I was like through eggs, like, oh my goodness, eggs are so good. And now they're kind of starting to fade a little bit. Now I really am enjoying Lara bars again. Is with them where I'll get them like every week for a while and then I'll be tired of them and then I'll get them every so often. I tried some different flavors this week and they were really awful. Awful. One was strawberry chocolate chip and it did not taste like strawberry at all. They just had like these big rock hard pieces of like strawberry and it was awful. And blueberry and I couldn't even finish it. It was so bad. Somehow. Lemon Lara bars.
Oh yeah.
The chocolate chip cookie dough Lara bars are amazing.
Those two are my favorite too. They're really good. We've done the blueberry one and that one's okay, but I saw the strawberry one the other day. I'm glad I didn't get it.
Looked so good. The package was like bright hot pink with little brown polka dots. It was so cute. And I was like, this is going to be the most delicious thing. And it fell very short of my expectations.
That's too bad.
But anyway, overall, I've been loving Lara bars lately. How about you?
Nice. So this is more of a fun drink because I'm all about the drink. Oh, yeah. If you've been listening, you know, I'm like the drink person. It's really weird. So I had been seeing people post this brand new, it's a probiotic sparkling soda. Okay. And they have different flavors and it's like the packaging is so cutesy and stuff. So, long story short or short story long as the case may be, Be Natural Market, our local, health food store, small health food store,
they had posted on their Instagram that they had them in stock. And I was like, oh yes, let's go over there on, and I think it was Labor Day. So this was, you know, around Labor Day. And I went in, we drove into town to do one other thing and to go by the store. And you know what? They were closed on Labor Day. And I was like, how dare you? I wanted my special drink. So anyway, it was motivation for me to take both kids into the store. And I did that, actually ended up doing that today. And I got three of them, and they're like $2 for a little, you know, soda. Okay. It's called Olipop. They have different flavors. I got the cola and the vanilla cherry. I've tried the cola and it tastes exactly like Coca-Cola. I think it does. Now, granted, I haven't had Coca-Cola in a long time, except if it's been Mexican Coke. I have had that where it's just sugar instead of the corn syrup or whatever. But yeah, it was really good. And the cool thing about it is that it has, it's, you know how, if you've ever had Zevia, right? It has the erythritol and all that stuff in it. That's just the, you know, mm-hmm. pretend sugar. so this chicory root and Jerusalem artichoke, it's all fermented. It's like a fermented sugar that they use for it. So it has, you know, sugar in it and not a whole lot, but it has enough in it to give it flavor, but it's great because it's not too sweet. Like I like fizzy stuff that's not fake sweetened, but that has just enough. It reminded me of being in Germany, eating a cake in Germany where they didn't use a crap ton of sugar. They just sort of, you know, it was like a condiment. Like they didn't, you know, load it down with sugar. They used a little bit. So anyway, the flavor was good. So highly recommend. It's called Olipop. If you find it in your town, try it and tell me what you think. Cause it's got probiotics and prebiotics, which is pretty cool for your drink.
So. That's interesting because I had the Lyme disease this summer, mm-hmm. and I had to take 2 months of antibiotics. I've been taking probiotics every night, but I would love to try getting it in.
Uh-huh. And it's prebiotics, so it's got the stuff that feeds that good bacteria that you're building up. So that's, I think, great. The Jerusalem artichoke and the cassava, something else in there. It's really cool. So yeah, you should try it. Very cool. So. All right. So speaking of drinks that you can't have on a keto diet, okay, not really, but that was not meaning to be a tie-in. But so today we're going to talk about low carb diets and keto diets, specifically how they relate to women, because I'm assuming I don't have very many male listeners because they're usually not thinking about all of this body image stuff. Usually not. That's not to say that they aren't, but that's not really our audience. So I'm going to be really, this is specifically for women because women's bodies work and process things differently and have different hormonal cascades than men. So if you're a guy and want to write us hate mail on how we don't like the keto diet or low carb or whatever, sorry, like this is a disclaimer for you. So I'm going to cover the difference between low carb and keto. And then I'm going to talk about how your body processes carbs, how it makes glucose, and why making sure that those processes can work as easily as possible is important for someone with hormonal issues or adrenal fatigue or thyroid problems. All of those things tie into that. So, so first let's explain the difference between keto. So keto is, well, actually let's do low carb first, because usually people start out doing low carb and then they sometimes get sucked into the keto realm, because usually it's like, well, low carb is not good enough, so let's go keto now. That's the, mm-hmm. the thing. So low carb, there's a lot of different definitions for this, but usually it's a diet that consists of under 20 grams of carbohydrate per day. So
20? Oh my God.
That's low carb. So you can't have too much.
I thought that keto was below 30.
Nope. Keto is like as little carbs as you could possibly eat and a buttload of fat. So yeah, okay. Low carb. And again, there's different classifications. Like some people may consider a low carb diet under 40, but the classic low carb is like around 20, under 20 grams. And that's, that's not a lot. That's like an apple. Okay. Like 4, 8, 12, all 16, day. 20. Like I'm like doing the math of it. Yeah. So that's like an apple and a half, right? That's all the carbs you're allowed to have. You're not, you know, no other sugars, no other sweeteners, no other rice, potatoes. And even, you know, you have to watch too many vegetables, you know, don't do that. So low carb, that's low carb. And usually there's, you know, an emphasis on fat and protein, because the idea is that your body will stop burning glucose and it will start burning fat and start, you know, burning maybe ketones too, which we're going to get into in just a second. So that's low carb. Now keto is a different animal, because in keto, you're actually getting yourself to go into what is called ketosis. And ketosis is the where your body produces these things called ketones. It's an alternative fuel to glucose or sucrose or whatever, you know, sugars. It's an alternative, right? Ketones are. So ketones, it's your body can also use those for fuel. So the idea in keto is to get yourself into quote unquote ketosis, which means that you can actually test your, and believe me, people buy the monitors. You can buy the things to stick your finger and, you know, or pee on a strip to tell you if you're in ketosis, because a lot of people are trying to get into ketosis because there's purportedly a lot of health benefits from burning ketones for fuel. But as I'm going to share with you in a minute, I think that for women in particular, it can actually be more damaging. So ketosis, that's essentially the gist of it, is that you're trying to get yourself into this alternative fuel state where your body is not burning glucose, it's burning fat. Usually, I will say, keto is most often, 80% of the time, I would say, keto is used as a prop for people losing weight. Keto is a very few times I see keto being used for someone to manage a health condition. Now, there are people that use keto to manage a health condition. All right. That like that's legit. Yeah. And I'm not discounting your experience. If you're listening to this and you're like, how dare she attack my keto diet? If it's working for you, your blood work looks great. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the people who are like, should I go on a keto diet? For me, is this right for me? That's what I'm going to talk to you about is that. So keto, and the thing about keto too, is that it's expensive for your body to make its own sugar when you're not taking it in. Because I'm going to explain that in a minute. It's actually, your body actually has to make its own glucose if you're not taking it in. So with keto, you're basically forcing your body to, you know, make its own sugar there. So it's kind of a process to do that, where you're actually breaking down your own muscle. So
you can't live without glucose. It's not like, oh, I'm living without sugar and without carbs, and now I'm in this pure, like, utopia state of my body. Nope. Like, you know, no.
And you know,
your body's still going to use glucose.
Yes, exactly. And you know, people don't. And again, if you don't understand how it works, you're going to go and do the keto diet, and you will probably feel great at first. Like I'll explain in a minute, you'll have this euphoria, and then you'll kind of start to have some things crop up, or you will be off the wagon, on the wagon, off the wagon, on the wagon, off the wagon, on the wagon. That's kind of the process. So let's talk about actually how your body processes glucose and how it makes it. So this is going to be interesting for anyone, because who doesn't like to understand how that works? So everyone will sometimes say, they'll use the phrase, well, you don't need carbs, your body will make them. And that is the tenet of the low carb keto diet. And it's based on a lot of assumptions, but basically they're saying you don't need carbs, your body will make them. Okay, so where do you think the fuel is going to come from? If you're not going to take in carbs and your body uses glucose, a lot of it for your brain, and your body is programmed so that if your glucose goes below a certain level, it goes, emergency, emergency, we need to make more glucose. And it synthesizes hormones, you know, releases them into the body that will cause you to make that glucose. And I'm going to explain a lot more of that on a second. So here's the thing. Gluconeogenesis, the creation of new glucose, that's the term for the synthesization of glucose. Okay, so that's, your body has to make glucose if you're not taking it in. Like, if you get nothing else out of this, your body will still make glucose even if you never eat another carb in your life. But the problem with that is that gluconeogenesis is actually quite inflammatory, the process of making that sugar, and it's stressful to your body. Okay. And why is that? Well, what it does is when your body doesn't, let's say you're doing an intermittent fast, right? You wake up in the morning, you're going to eat your first meal at 1 p.m. So what's your body going to do before 1 p.m.? Well, your body's like, well, Susan's not eating anything right now, so let's call on the adrenals to put out some cortisol. Right? Okay. Adrenals squirt out cortisol. The cortisol breaks down your existing tissue. So think muscles, glands, organs. And did you hear me say organs? It breaks down your organs. Okay. That's not cool. Connective tissue, all of that is broken down and it's sent to your liver. Now your liver is going to break down that and it's going to synthesize that into glucose. So magically, you know, adrenals send out cortisol, cortisol breaks down muscles, and then all that glucose is made in the liver. So in other words, you have to ask your liver to add that another task to its 500 plus things that it's doing every day. Now you're also asking your overburdened liver to make sugar too, right? Mm-hmm. And your liver and your muscles can only store so much glucose as glycogen. So your liver, there's an estimate that they had that your liver can store about the equivalent of 2 bananas of carbs. Like if you're talking about grams, like that's an estimate. Your skeletal muscle also stores glycogen. That's why athletes will carb load before a meet. They're going to try to get some glycogen stored in those muscles so they can have extra energy. So very interesting. But so you're asking your liver to do that, right? So once the glucose makes its way into your bloodstream, those cells are going to suck that up, take it to the mitochondria, and the mitochondria, which again are found by the hundreds and thousands inside of the cell. So you have the cell and then you have the mitochondria. And inside the mitochondria, there is a process that will turn that glucose into cell fuel. And that cell fuel is called ATP. That's an abbreviation. And that's energy. Okay. So but the problem that happens for people is that they've put themselves through the whole, we have enough sugar. We don't have enough sugar. We have enough sugar. We don't have enough sugar. And your liver's having to go, what the heck are you doing, woman? Like make up your mind whether you're going to eat carbs or not. Like, you know, it puts your liver in kind of a, you know, it's like the liver's the goalie and it's trying to dodge all these soccer, like, okay, well, that one came out of left field. What does she want me to do now? Like, I don't know. I come up with these really random illustrations, but imagine your liver, like, trying to fight off the balls. But basically,
I've got that image in my head now.
Yeah, it is. It's now, like a little frowny face liver with the balls, like, what the, you know, like it randomly hitting him in the head and your liver's like, what are you doing? So
can I interject really quick?
Yeah, yeah.
I have a question because a lot of this is new to me too, because I've never done a keto diet and I've never studied that much.
You're lucky to not have done it before.
Yes, I know. I know. I can imagine it'd be very unpleasant. I've only gone low carb a few times for in different infections, which was no fun. But my question is, whenever you're saying that we have enough fuel, we don't have enough fuel, is that because people are cycling in and out of a keto diet, or is it because their body synthesizes the glucose and then they use it and then they synthesize it and use it? Are you saying that they're popping in and out of the diet?
Yes. So what I would say there is that basically they are doing fasting. Like, for example, you know, you get up, you don't eat breakfast, and then you eat lunch at 1, that kind of thing where your body's
intermittent fasting.
Yes. Intermittent fast or taking a lot of, you know, weird breaks in between your meal and not giving a steady supply. And if you couple it with an intermittent fasting or a low carb, so intermittent fasting and low carb, those two together, I mean, man, your body is going to be making its own glucose, and you actually might not sleep very well at night too, because your cortisol is going to wake you up in the middle of the night. So I'm going to talk more about that as well. But yes, that's a great question. It's essentially meaning that you're basically cycling, you know, making your body, you know, you're skipping meals, you're not eating regularly. And then when you are eating, you're maybe just eating carbs or just eating fat, or, you know, not making a nice balance, like the fat, protein, the carb, nice complex meal, your bloodstream is happy. So yes, it's kind of that poor eating habits all over the board, or you're stressed. And then, yeah, exactly.
Interesting. And I have another question too, is that I was always taught growing up and like in my little health books and my nutrition books for college, just like the normal, you know, health 101 or whatever, they make it sound like whenever you reduce carbs and sugar, like the only thing that your body's going to be breaking down is fat, fat, stored fat, until, and they only make it sound like it's a problem if your body fat percentage goes too low, and then it starts breaking down organs and tissues and muscle. But if it sounds like from what you're saying that your body breaks it down anyway, like even say say you have a lot of fat stores.
Yeah.
Your body is your body kind of indiscriminate? Would it just break down whatever it can find?
That's a great question. So as far as if it's indiscriminate, in my opinion, at least from what I've seen, the order is that it will go for your muscles. So it's going to go, okay, where can we get the glucose from this? And then it's going to go to your muscles, and then it's going to move to the organs and other stuff. So it's kind of a hierarchy. And as far as when it gets to the fat, that's really interesting, because that's why that's the idea of these keto people, is that they're going to get their body into fat burning mode so that we can right. access the fat storage. And the problem with that is that if you're putting your body into a stress state, your body's not going to want to burn off anything. Like, it's not. Right. It's going to be holding on for dear life, if that makes sense. So, mm-hmm. And that, yeah, that's a really good question. So it really wants to, and it will use up the liver as well. So it'll kind of burn off what's in the liver. And then if there's nothing there, it's going to go to your muscles, and then it will start moving. And sometimes it will burn fat in there as well, because your body will, you know, is made to burn tandem fuels. So it right. might, that might be an interesting question too. I'm sure they've done research to see if it burns an equal amount. You know, some people might have right. where it burns an equal amount of fat and muscle tissue, or it burns more fat, you know, and some people might have right. a different variation, but basically your body is made to do both. And so the keto crowd are saying, well, if you're burning fat, then you're just going to burn the fat off your body. Like, it's super awesome. Right. Cause if you tell your body, it's like, you know, you're telling your body to burn off fat, it's going to burn off all the fat in your body. You know, and that's their idea. And to be honest, I have not seen that work in a lot of cases, just being gotcha. Honest with women. Okay. Like, really right. honest here. It's very challenging because we have these pesky things called hormones. So
right.
that makes them a little bit more, you know, angry. So, but basically they, so sometimes people will, you know, if you haven't been able to store up that in your liver, you know, your body's going to go for your muscles. It's going to go for sometimes your fat storage, but basically, you have this hypoglycemia, and that means these crashes and these spikes. So these are the people who they get, you know, they can't go, you know, 10 minutes or 30 minutes without a meal, or they will forget that the classic hypoglycemic, in my opinion, is they eat a real heavy carb breakfast. Right. So like pancakes with no butter, because mm-hmm. butter makes you fat, and then with maple right. syrup on it, and then maybe a glass of juice and like something like that, like a real carb heavy right. meal, which is nothing. There's nothing wrong with that. I would say that those type of people need some protein. Protein is also right. very underlooked, because the amino acids are important for your liver. But anyway, that's a side note. So those people, this is a classic hypoglycemia. What is it? It's where your blood sugar is super dysregulated. So these people will typically eat a very carb heavy breakfast. And then they will like not eat until they eat their coffee, drink their coffee at like 10. And then they mm-hmm. might forget to eat till like 2 p.m. And then they have a, trying to think of like a peanut butter sandwich. And right. that's all, you know, there's no protein there. There's no staying power. And then by the time it gets to dinner, they're absolutely famished, and they just eat, you know, a more normal sized meal. And then usually they end up eating a lot more carbs because they've not eaten enough during the day. So those people, it's just very out of pattern. And having stable blood sugar is one of the best things you can do for your hormones, for your adrenals, for your thyroid, everybody to be happy having that stable meals. Because right. it's the root at almost every single issue that we talked about with the thyroid adrenal stuff. And the people can relate to this, because the minute your blood sugar starts to drop, your cortisol goes up. This is across the board, okay? So these keto people who are eating no carbs at all, when their blood sugar drops, guess what's going to rise? Their cortisol, all right? And the cortisol is right. going to rise, and it's going to have to pull stuff from your muscles and sometimes fat tissue, but also every you know, organs and everything. It's going to pull from there, right? So mm-hmm. you're going to start to feel hungry, or sometimes people will just not feel hungry at all. If you've ever known someone who just has no appetite, stress suppresses your hunger. That's just a fact. Right. So you may start feeling anxious, irritable, snappy, tired, like the hangry feeling, right? Okay. So that's what you will typically, you know, feel as well there. And also interesting, before I go into more stuff about sleeping as well, I wanted to say too that if your liver can't store sugar very well, meaning it can't, you know, store that glucose very well, and it has to make its own sugar. All right, so this is a fun fact for you. Gluconeogenesis, the creation of sugar by the liver, it depletes the liver of the nutrients it needs to function. Okay, so we're talking, guess what? Taurine, magnesium, B vitamins, copper, and vitamin A. And guess what? All of those have to do as well. They have to do with your energy. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it depletes you because the liver's like, well, we can't process these B vitamins, because if this chick's blood sugar goes too low, she's going to go into a coma. So we've got to get her blood sugar up to a suitable level. We can deal with the B vitamins later. I want you to picture the liver as like a mom who has like 5 million things to do. And she's going to try to focus on the most important things, right? Like keeping her kids alive. So the right. liver is going to focus on keeping you alive, and it might not pay attention to the laundry or if the floors are not sticky or whatever. It's going to focus on the thing that's most important, which guess what is keeping you alive. So it's not going to really focus on the thriving part. It's going to focus on the surviving part, if that makes sense.
Right.
So that's... And, you know, sometimes people, for example, women who do keto diets or low carb, they will typically have very poor sleep. And this takes a couple mm-hmm. months into their diets to start to show up. Ask me how I know, because I have done keto and low carb and intermittent fasting at the same time. So, so some of them, you can't even make it through the night without your liver running out of fuel. Because guess what? So when you go to bed, you're sleeping for 12 hours, right? You're sleeping for usually around 12 hours. Your body's going to be out of commission for 12 hours. So if your liver is in the middle of the night, like, great, Susan's out, but her blood sugar is going low. What are we going to do? What's the answer? Cortisol. Right. Cortisol is going to spike, and then boom, you're up at 2 a.m. and you can't go back to sleep. So if your body is not having the nice amount of carbohydrates that needs to be stored in your liver so that you can make that overnight fast, you know, and mm-hmm. a bottom line is that the low carb and keto type of eating styles, you can do them. Like your body won't die. Okay. Let's just put it that way. But in many cases, you won't thrive because women's hormones are just so complex. We need to feel safe. We need to feel our bodies need to feel safe, and they need to feel like they have enough nutrients to right. do what they need to do. And if the moment they feel deprived, that's when we have problems. But a lot of these people that are doing this, they don't realize that you really need to have your body be more stable and not having to force it to make its own sugar, which is also very stressful. So, you know, and basically if you can survive with the low carb keto. Yes, you can survive, but it is a survival mechanism because your body is made to survive on, you can pretty much make your body survive on whatever you want to make it survive on. But it's just a matter right. of if you're wanting it to work for you, are you wanting to have balanced hormones? Do you want to work on your thyroid health? Do you want to work on your adrenals? Like, what are you looking to work at? And then you can make the choices from there because the, you know, I've just seen it for women be so stressful. Like I was talking to a lady one time, this was a couple years ago, and she had a very stressful job. She was getting up at 5 a.m. every day to go to work. And then she was getting home, you know, at 7 and then falling into bed at like midnight or something crazy like that. Then she was also told by her doctor, her naturopathic doctor, that she needed to go low carb.
Right.
And needed to do intermittent fasting. And I was like, where is this guy? Because I am going to give him an earful because she's already stressed. Her stress level is already through the roof. And you're now asking her body to do even more things to right. help it do. I was like, this is baffling. If you already have that much stress right. in life, and no wonder. And she told me, she said, I've gained a lot of extra weight that I don't know where it came from. And you know, she said, my thyroid is tanking. I'm having trouble with my adrenals. And I was like, you need to stop intermittent fasting and help your body have the fuel that it needs right out of the gate. Help right. make it easy. Make it easy for your body. That's how you support your metabolism. Like that right. is how you support your metabolism. You eat those balanced meals with a balanced mix of protein, fat, and carbs. And every couple hours and within, and make sure as well for people, if they're dealing with this is a practical takeaway. Try to eat food within 30 minutes of waking. And around 30 minutes before you go to bed. Now, everybody's going to freak out because people freak out when you say you can eat before bed. I eat before bed. I have gotten and this is a personal testimony from myself as well for this eating before bed. I used to be terrified of eating before bed. If it was anytime after 7, I would not like let myself eat. What a miserable life. I feel so bad for my past self. But this is just now something I wanted to add in here too. I'm sorry, I'm kind of going all over the place, but this is something. So your temperature can be an indicator of how healthy your thyroid is. This is just kind of a random side note with eating before bed, because you want to make sure that you have something in your stomach for those hours in the night when you're right. don't want to be waked up by the cortisol. But for example, with your thyroid, you want to have it between 97.6 and 98.6. That's you want to have it in that range because that's telling you that your thyroid is happy And of course, it depends with us ladies, you know, depending on what time we are in our cycle, it will be lower before ovulation, higher after, you know, hopefully you guys know all that. But basically, I went from, you know, being scared of, you know, having food too late at night and being scared of carbs and telling people that they were going to get cancer if they ate any sugar and all other crazy stuff like that. I went from that to, and my temperature was 96.7.
Oh, geez.
Or 97.3 was the highest it got. Okay. Like, and now,
is this any time during the day or is this only in the morning?
So this is anytime during the day, but it's okay, most accurate first thing in the morning. That's just, they always say, but this is a random spot check. I would be super low. Okay. This was a couple years ago. I started eating more carbs. I stopped being afraid of eating things at night. I now consistently, the other day I took my temperature in the middle of the day and it was 98.5. And that is insane for me because I used to be at 96 and 97. Like, as long as I could remember in the past, like,
right.
So you really, this works. What I'm trying to say is that not being afraid of carbs, being balanced, eating balanced meals, it really does work. Like it really does. It's very, and the problem with it for people is that it's very simple and people don't like simple. They want it to be more complicated. Well,
and it sounds so appealing. It's like, hey, you know, everybody knows that sugar is going to kill you and that right. Everybody knows that carbs turn into sugar.
Yeah.
And so let's just cut it out. And it's just like we were saying in the sugar episode, your body has to make glucose to survive.
Yep.
So of course carbs are broken down into sugar because literally everything's broken down into sugar. Because your body
even if you
has
eat too much protein. Guess what happens to that? It's broken down into sugar. So
yeah.
Spoiler.
Because
alert.
Your body has to have it to survive. So it's not that you need to cut out this whole, I don't know. It's just, it's a very extreme. And yes, there are some people I know. I believe there was I haven't talked to him a long time. This is a rumor I heard that a neighbor of mine who was pretty severely autistic, went, I guess it was keto.
Yeah.
And maybe just low carb and is like thriving now. And like, and so there are some people who it could work really well for very specific, but like you said, how many people are doing it for the health benefits,
exactly.
Like for autism or things like that? Or how many people are doing it for weight loss?
Yes. And it's and worth mentioning as well that they originally studied keto. The reason why the keto diet exists was for people or patients with seizure disorders. And you know what? It reversed the seizure disorders in so many of these patients with keto diet, right? So that's why we have it. But then it got hijacked and taken into all the, you know, oh, it makes you, you know, lose fat and whatnot. But here's the problem too, is that in a lot of the low carb keto community, I see a lot of people that are on the wagon, off the wagon. Like that's their lifestyle. And they're telling you if they're not on the wagon, like they're making sure they tell you, well, I'm not on the wagon today. Like they got to announce it to you. And I'm just like, I don't see consistency because it's not sustainable for many people. And I have friends, who eat keto. I have friends that eat low carb and you know what? We're still friends. We might not be friends after they hear this podcast because sometimes the truth about how things work kind of, it can kind of hurt a little bit and I get it, but I know that, you know, some people it does work for them. And I will say most of the people that I know that do low carb or keto, they're dudes. They're not women,
right?
But there are a few women that I know that it works for them. And I'm like, hey, long-term, if it works for you and you know, your blood work is good, you feel good. I'm not going to be sitting there telling you that you shouldn't do it, but I'm telling the people who are maybe questioning themselves, should I cut down on my carbs? Should I, you know, go on this new keto diet? Basically, I'm hoping to help people understand how your body processes sugar and how it, you know, processes glucose and carbs, and then let you can go from there. You're an educated person. You can decide what you want to do with that information. But it's just, I hope that, you know, and also for people, this is one thing else I want to say about thyroid and adrenals. Okay. So I mentioned the thyroid with taking your temperature and all that. So, if your adrenals aren't happy, the adrenals are the things that secrete cortisol, and cortisol is secreted when your blood sugar gets low. So what do you think happens when someone goes on a keto diet and you've got to make that glucose all the time. You're not taking in any glucose. Your body's having to make it yourself. So guess what the adrenals are doing? They're working overtime. They're secreting cortisol. And then you have someone come to you and they're like, I've been doing keto for, you know, a couple of years pretty consistently and low carb for, you know, however many years. And my thyroid is tanked and I, you know, feel terrible and I'm having all these other health concern things. And it's like, okay, well, that makes sense when you understand that it's depleting your adrenals. It's depleting your adrenals. So if you want to make your adrenals happy, you know, have consistent meals. Like I said, sound like a broken record because it's kind of the same thing. Make sure that you have like, okay, the adrenal cocktail. Everybody should know about this. It's pretty easy. You just take orange juice. And I know juice is a fear food for a lot of us. It used to be for me. I used to not be like, absolutely not. It's liquid sugar with some fruit thrown in there and it's the devil's drink or whatever nonsense. I'm told. Anyway, so I used to be absolutely scared of oranges. And you know what? I've been doing, you know, pretty regular adrenal tonics the last couple of months and I feel great. Like I don't feel super laggy in my energy. It's really helped me and it's helped a lot of people. But basically what it is it's a balance of minerals, which again, minerals are important because they transfer nutrients across your cell membrane. We've been talking about cells before. Also important because they are the cofactors for literally every single enzymatic process in your body. Everything from breaking down food to creating new glucose, like we mentioned earlier. All of those involve minerals. So you have minerals in there in the form of sea salt and cream of tartar or potassium, you know, like straight potassium. Cream of tartar is a form of potassium. So that's why I say cream of tartar in there. Cream of tartar, sea salt, 4 ounces maybe of orange juice. You can add in some collagen, add in some heavy cream for some fat, and there you go. Take that at 10 a.m., 2 p.m., and it really works, guys. Like, I've used that quite a bit when I felt myself being real draggy, you know, after I had my son, and he was not sleeping very well at night, and I was just, you know, and I'm so glad I knew that this time, because after I had my daughter, I had no idea. Like, I was not thinking about that as much, but now I was like, okay, that really does help. So that's the adrenal tonic, and it's an adrenal tonic because it provides a easy form of glucose straight into your bloodstream. You've got some fat in there from the heavy cream. You've got some protein in there from the collagen peptides. You've got your cream of tartar, sea salt. You stick it in there and you drink that. And you drink it at 10 and 2 because that's when the times that the cortisol tends to be at a higher level generally.
So, and you know, it's so interesting because we accept in our culture that stress is really bad for you and that we're too stressed and we need to reduce stress. But a lot of the people like YouTubers or influencers that I know who are really big into keto or paleo, because paleo diets are also quite low carb. You know, they're into all this low carb stuff, but they're also into reduce your stress and meditate and let's do yoga and let's all slow down and stop being so stressed. But their diets themselves are, whether or not they feel stressed, whether or not they've reduced the stress in their lifestyle, their diet is causing their body to physically secrete cortisol all day.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting for people to think about, that even if you're like, if you're trying to reduce stress in your life, maybe your diet could be a place to look at. And maybe even if you, like you said earlier about the hypoglycemia, where maybe it's not even that you're keto, but that you're just kind of erratic or that you're not paying attention. And I'm guilty of that with a baby and a toddler, where I'll be like, I don't remember how long it was the other day. We had gone to the park and we did something else. And I was like, I don't think I've eaten in about 5 hours.
Yeah.
And it's not intentional sometimes, but if you can keep that steady, keep your blood sugar steady, it sounds like you'll be physically producing less cortisol. I mean, that's quite an easy way to reduce stress. I mean, maybe you can't change your job, but you can change your diet, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You can help yourself be more supportive. So you're resilient to stress. And honestly, that's one of my goals right now, is to help myself be as resilient to stress as possible, because I don't think I'm ever going to eliminate all of the stressors from my life, but I can give my body the tools that it needs to, so that I can handle the stress. And my body can, I'm not making myself more, my body more stressed out by my dietary choices. Let's just put it at that. So, you know, and, you know, there's even some very interesting, so if people Google Ray Peet, the work of Ray Peet, he talks a lot about the, you know, blood sugar, adrenals, all of that stuff. And he, I don't know if he's the one that made up the adrenal cocktail or not, but he's one of the big, people who encourages that, but he's somebody to look up to. He actually has, this is, talking about diabetes. So people may be listening to this and go, okay, well, what about keto for diabetes? Like, doesn't that help right. you get more sensitive to insulin? And the thing about that is you have to remember that in order for your cells to be communicating properly, they have to have healthy cell membranes. And if your cell membranes are damaged, or they, you take in a whole bunch of polyunsaturated fatty acids, or PUFAs, as we refer to them, it sounds really funny, but that's the acronym for them. If you're taking in a lot of that, the cells then can't communicate to each other about how much sugar they have or how much they need. So your cells start to not be able to communicate. And so your blood sugar goes crazy because your cells can't regulate it. Okay. So that's a theory as to how we have stuff like diabetes, is that the cells can't adequately communicate. Now, keto people or low carb people say it is 100% because you are eating too much sugar. Take out all the sugar and you will be just fine. Now, with what we described right. earlier, what does that sound like it would do? Okay, it would probably bring down some of your levels. Yeah, for sure. It would probably bring down some of those levels. But if you don't address the cellular sensitization right. problem, you're not getting at the root of the problem. Like, you're not. Right. So even, you know, I think that people, the classic thing, like, and I totally used to think this. Okay, if you ever have a client that has like type 2 diabetes, gotta go keto, low carb, because the only way to fix this is to go low carb. And when in reality, the truth is you got to fix your cells' ability to communicate and build healthy cells that can talk to each other and say, hey, buddy, I have a lot of sugar. Do you need any? Yes. And then they right. share it. And then it's like, oh, now your blood sugar is going down because they're sharing it and they don't need to, you know, synthesize anymore. I don't know if that even makes sense. But basically, if the cells can talk to each other and they're sensitive to the hormone insulin, which I'm not going to go into insulin because that's just it's like another hour.
Too much science.
But we talk about cortisol a lot. So, but yeah, I'll mention, you know, insulin, just, you can look that up too. But basically you want the bottom line of all of the sugar, blood sugar stuff is you want your cells to be sensitive to insulin, and you get those cells sensitive to insulin by supporting the cell membrane and helping your mitochondria do what they're supposed to do. Now, interestingly, because I know you've had Lyme, cell membranes, right. when we have viruses or we have other, like mold, for example, they affect your cell membranes' ability to communicate to each other. So sometimes you can have, you know, a dip in energy, or you have a little bit of hormone stuff going on. Usually once the cells get themselves back together, you'll not have that, because the cells can then mm-hmm. make energy and communicate, because you can actually have the number of your mitochondria, which are the energy powerhouses of the cell. Those can actually, mm-hmm. you know, go down in number. So it's just more complicated than it's made out to be. And sure, you know, I know, like I said before, I have friends that they do keto, low carb, or, you know, carnivore type of deal, and I go for it. But my thing as well is that, are you doing it long term? Like, for me, the right. idea of a lifestyle, do you want to constantly be having to be on the wagon, off the wagon, and that's your whole life? You know, people just tend to not be able to stick with things too. So they will be, you know, keto for one, you know, couple months, and then they'll switch, and then they'll switch, and then they'll switch. And it's just a constant, right. their bodies are like, what is she, you know?
Right.
So I just, and for me, I look at sustainability, and I don't see, right. I don't see a whole lot of that with that whole community. So,
well, you know. And I don't see too, and I don't blame them at all, because your body's not made to,
it's a biological override.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Your body's not made to be in that state. So if you're constantly falling off the wagon, it's not your fault. It's your body asking you to eat more carbs and to stop doing keto. And like you said, like, sometimes there's medical reasons to do it, and that's fine. But if it's just for the fact that it's a fad, or that you heard that it was healthy in a magazine, or that you're trying to lose weight, your body, yeah, it is. It's a biological override, because your body's not designed to be in that state. And it's the same thing. I think of it as so ironic, because in the 80s, 90s, you know, you watch Seinfeld from the 90s, and they're all trying to avoid fat. Mm-hmm. And they're all like, oh my gosh, fat. They had the whole episode about the, in Seinfeld, about the frozen yogurt. And they were all so excited because it was fat free. And they all started gaining weight and getting chubby, and they were like, oh my gosh. And they, so they had it like privately analyzed, and they were like, they were lying. There was fat in there. And so it's like in their story, in their little Seinfeld world.
Eating fat
immediately made all of them gain weight. And so now we laugh at that, because now as a culture, we're like, oh, duh, idiots. Fat is good for you.
Right.
Yeah. It's the sugar and the carbs that are
it's
evil.
It's always going to be something. You know, tomorrow you might wake up and it's air. You need to avoid air. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, like
it's exactly the opposite. It is exactly the opposite, where it was like, okay, low fat is good. No fat is best. And so people would literally go the entire day eating a tablespoon of fat all day, or even less. And then now it's the same with sugar or with carbs. It's like, okay, well, we hear some rumors about them, there being some bad stuff about carbs or sugar, so let's just cut it all out. Mm-hmm. And your body normally isn't made to exist in those extremes. It can adapt to those extremes, like you said.
Yep, exactly. Like, just because it can adapt to it doesn't mean that you have to do it all the time. Like if you're in a survival situation, right, and you can only eat, roasted squirrel or something, well, your body's going to handle it for you. That's the nice thing about your body, is that you're it handles things. So when you understand how your body works, then you can understand how you're going to feel it and what you're going to do. Because it's away from the dogma. That's what I like about this, is that it's away from the dogma. You find out what works best for you.
Right.
So,
and that's fine. And at some points that you might need to manipulate your carbs or protein or fat levels for different reasons. And that's fine. We're not like, I'm not the kind of anti-diet person who says that if you adjust your food for any reason, you're on a diet. No, there are other reasons to adjust your food, but of course, to be honest, a lot of the time it's a diet.
Yeah. Cause you can manipulate. Yeah, for sure. Like for example, dairy makes you violently ill. Take it out. Like, and that's what something that's, I think, differs for us. And I'm sure I can speak for you on this as well. We are not the type of anti-diet people that would hold an apple and a bowl of sugar in front of you and say that these have the exact same nutritional content, which some do. That's not true. Like, it's not actually true, right? Like, they both break down into fuel for your body, but one has, you know, some fiber, it's got some minerals, got some vitamin, you know what I'm saying? So we're not like the deny any reality of that there are macronutrients and there is health.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. We care about health. We just don't think, I typically tend to shy away from anything extreme with food, whether that's veganism or carnivorism, I guess carnivorism, the carnivore diet or the vegan diet or raw diet, or I've heard some like adrenal support diets that are like where everything is cooked or everything you eat is cooked. Mm-hmm. And then there's some, you know, the no fat, all carb diet or the all fat and protein, no carb diet, which is keto. Like, any of those extremes, your body's going to have to make up for it in some way. And so honestly, and most of the time, your body is not going to intuitively ask for that. We have to learn about these diets. We have to figure out the rules. Yeah. We figure out the guidelines. We get the tools needed and then implement it. And it takes a lot of hard work because it's not natural. It's not
intuitive.
Your body's normal response. So, unless I have a specific, and I have gone very low carb before because I had a candida infection.
Yeah.
I had to take a couple of supplements and I was better in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And it was fine. I noticed extreme results from my stomach hurting me all day long.
Yep.
And then I went low carb. I took the supplements.
Oh yeah.
My stomach.
I've had candida too. Oh yeah.
Yeah. And so there are times where it's worth it to just buckle down and do something that's not exactly natural, not exactly intuitive.
Yeah.
You follow your doctor's orders or whatever, you heal up and then you go back to eating normally. But for me, the goal is always to go back to eating normally.
Yeah, exactly. It's figuring out, because you can tweak, like, you know, I'm a nutritional therapist. That's like, I help people figure out if they've got like a health thing they're dealing with. We can work on that together. Like we can figure it out. If you're having blood sugar problems, we can work with that, you know? So yeah, there's a lot of tweaking that can be done, but I always try to get people back to eating a balance. And I hate, that word is so co-opted by traditional registered dietitian's balanced diet, you know, like which means
restrictive,
which means like don't eat butter because it's going to kill you.
You're exactly right. They do use balance in terms of restrictive, and they say eat all things in moderation, by which they mean, you know, everything's carefully portioned and you can't have too much of anything.
Yeah, and my definition of balance would be that it's tailored to what makes your body feel good, perform good, and function. Like, I don't know, feel, perform, function. I like that. That doesn't have anything to do with your appearance. Because usually people say, you know, look, feel, and perform. That's the, you know, look in there. But I like the function. What did I say now? I'm going to type this
function,
down.
Function, feel, and performance.
Feeling and function. Perform. I like that. I'm writing it down right now because my brain has the attention span of a goldfish. But yeah, function, feel, and performance. Yeah, because, you know, and performance, I mean, like, you know, are you able to, you know, do what you need to do during the day? You have energy. And then the function would be, you know, is your body working properly? How's your thyroid doing? How's your adrenals doing? And then feeling, like, do you feel good? Do you, you know, how's your emotional health? How's your mental health? You know, all of those. So I like that instead of look, because everybody always says, you know, look, feel, and perform. So.
Right. Well, and I'm going to say one last thing is that any diet, I don't care what health benefits it has, any diet, we've said this before in terms of intermittent fasting, there was this girl who said, success story. I lost all this weight. I got an eating disorder from intermittent fasting, but it worked. Yeah. So if you start to feel like your mental health or your relationship with food is suffering, mm-hmm. I mean, I would consider that a major red flag with health is if you're starting to feel panicky around food or starting to have disordered behaviors, mm-hmm. that's a big reason not to do something. So, I mean, not to say that if keto is the only thing that keeps you alive, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
Exactly. I know what you mean.
If it's a choice between potential kind of vague health benefits and disordered eating that it's kind of driving you toward, I'd be really careful of that. Yeah. So that was my two cents.
Totally. Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. Yeah. All right. Well, do you have anything else?
No.
All right. Okay, well, thanks so much for listening, y'all, and we'll see you again next time. Bye.
Thanks, bye.
For more great content, check us out on Instagram. We're at instagram.com/dietdetox. We'll see you next time.